Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Packers and Cowboys coming up on Sunday. We'll talk with Bob McGinn of BobMcGinnFootball.com to get his thoughts on the Packers injury situation heading into the Cowboys game. And we'll talk with Packers left tackle David Bakhtiari at 4:35. Wendy's Big Show today at 2, served up hot and fresh.
From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
Widely renowned Tom Petty tunes. American Girl.
This song, though, gets a bad rap.
Why is that?
If you've seen the movie Silence of the Lambs.
Oh, yeah. That's what she's playing with just before she gets clubbed in the back of the head.
Gets kidnapped by Buffalo Bill.
Yeah.
Sir, you want a size 14?
Yeah, she... She tries to help him, and he's backing her into the van with the couch.
Good.
And he clubs her.
Good. Yeah. It rubs the lotion on its skin,
it's
or
the,
else it gets the hose again.
Governor's daughter, if I'm not mistaken.
The senator.
The senator's daughter that gets taken, So.
Love your suit.
There you have it.
Oh, I know every line.
Tom Petty passing yesterday at the age of 66. Kind of some shocking news. Rock and Roll Hall of Fame member.
Sucks.
Yep. A lot of people knew his music in one way, shape, or form. This portion of the program being brought to you by our good friends at Marshfield Clinic. They're the ones that fixed me back up, both with my knee, and I'm finally, I think I've turned the corner in this crud, whatever it's been. I called Marshfield Clinic on Sunday, and I just said, man, I need some help. And they sent over the prescription to my pharmacy. And yesterday was it. I think I finally turned the corner. I'm feeling a little bit better. The head's starting to clear up. I still got some man head, but it was just a phone call. I got insurance, so it only cost me $10. And then I went and picked a prescription up, and I'm feeling a little bit better. So hopefully this is the beginning of much, much better things to come. Thanks to the Marshfield Clinic and Care My Way. Call them 844-CARE-WAY, 844-CARE-WAY. That's the Marshfield Clinic, or go to marshfieldclinic.org. Marshfield Clinic Health System. They are the official healthcare provider of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. They are right now 1-0 in conference, 4-0 overall. The Badgers, when you look at the point differential, is just staggering. 163-54. And they've basically been shut out football in the second half of ball games this year. But what is their identity? It didn't look great. It was rather lethargic on Saturday. And to talk more about it, Zach Heilprint from our friends out in the zone out in Madison, 106.7 FM and 1670 AM, joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Zach, I'll start off by asking you that question. What do you think the identity is of this Badger team right now?
Right now? It's a good question. Paul Chryst has talked about that. People ask him, you know, when do you find out your identity? When do you find out your team? And it's something that evolves throughout the entire season. However, right now, I mean, I think their identity is defensively same as it's been the past few years. Get after the quarterback and, you know, force teams to beat you through the air. They've been able to stop the run extremely well again this year, and that's kind of what this defense is. And we saw them get after the quarterback a lot last week, and I think we'll see that again this week against Nebraska. Offensively, they've been balanced, really, until this past week. They weren't as good in the passing game as they had been the first three games, but they're as balanced now as an offense as they've been since Paul Chryst was here the first, you know, as an offensive coordinator, really since 2011. This is as balanced as they've been, you know, averaging right around 270 yards rushing. It was right around 230, you know, in the passing game before this past week. So balanced on offense and terrorizing on defense, I think, would be the two words I would use for this team so far.
The one thing that I found interesting, well, two actually. One is watching them take on Northwestern. Don't get me wrong, Northwestern's not a pushover, but I've never seen a Badger team that was stalemated in the trenches more. And I know that they still ended up winning the ball game. They still blew open some holes, don't get me wrong, but they're usually a team that dominates in the trenches, and they haven't done that consistently this season.
You know what? It really hasn't been that way the past 2 years either. I mean, they've been hurting offensive line wise really since Paul showed back up. But I they are better this year. Especially the numbers wise, they're better this year than they were in past years. And Jonathan Taylor certainly has an impact on that. But I thought they got away from the run game way too early in that Northwestern game. I mean, Jonathan Taylor had 50 yards in the first quarter, only got three carries in the second. That's not something that could happen if you're Wisconsin. Now, Northwestern was selling out. Northwestern was playing up and making sure that you weren't going to beat them running the ball. And in some cases, Wisconsin still will be able to run the ball. But, you know, you have to beat them over the top, and that's what they did. That's how they ended up getting back on top of that game and really taking control of that game, was being able to throw the ball down the field. And that takes Alex Hornibrook being on point. And different points this year he hasn't been. But he was there to start the second half, and that's really when the offense – is at its best, is when they have the ability to go both ways, both passing and rushing. But you're right, they were not as dominant in the trenches as they have been in maybe earlier in the year, but they certainly are better than they have been the past 2 years.
So I want to go to Hornibrook, because I watched him in that BYU game. He was spectacular. In this game, a lot of the criticism that was, you know, kind of heaped on him, going back to the beginning of the season when we had talked to a few different people nationally that said, look, he's got a decent arm. It's not a strong arm. And he was actually, by Pete Futek, called a noodle arm. He had a lot of underthrown balls in that game against Northwestern. You're not going to get away with that once you get into the meat of your schedule here. So, I mean, where is Hornibrook right now?
Yeah, I thought he took a huge step. I'll say this first. I'm a Hornibrook fan. Like, I think he's their best option. I think he'd be a very good quarterback. However, he gets in his mind a little bit. He's confident, but I think he stops playing freely when he makes a mistake or two. Meaning, he's not always trusting what he's seeing after he makes those mistakes. And I thought that was certainly the case against Florida Atlantic after he threw his interception early in that game, or in the second quarter of that game. Then on Saturday again, stops taking what he's seeing and believing what he's seeing. And Paul Chris mentioned that after the game. In terms of his arm strength, we saw against BYU a couple of the balls that he threw. He's got enough to put the ball where it needs to be. Some of the deep balls, I asked him about that today. I asked him about, you know, when you're throwing those 50-50 balls, because a lot of those are 50-50 balls. And when it's Quintez Cephas and Danny Davis, Troy Fumagalli, he feels comfortable throwing up and letting those guys get it. And I asked, you know, overthrows. Are you worried about, you know, overthrowing the ball, or are you just trying to give them a chance no matter what? He said, no one's ever caught an overthrown ball, so I want to give my guys a shot. Now, underthrowing the ball isn't great either, but at least you're giving them a shot when you're underthrowing it a little bit. The interception that was to Penniston, that was trying to go to Penniston, you know, that would have been Troy Fumagalli, and I think Troy Fumagalli more often than not comes down with that. But Alex is going to give his guys a shot, and I think at times you'll see some of those balls are underthrown for that reason. But he does not have an elite arm, but I think it's plenty good enough at the college level.
Talking with Zach Heilprin, reporter for 106.7 FM and 1670 AM, The Zone, our good affiliate out in Madison. Defensively speaking, this team has been dynamite in the second half of games. I mean, they've given up some scores early on, but the second half of a ball game has damn near been a shutout. What is it about Leonard's offense that when they come out early, it's kind of sketchy, and then the adjustments that are made at halftime are just so dynamic?
I think it's a matter of him, you know, still learning as an assistant. I mean, this is just his second year, and, you know, making adjustments. He's a smart guy. I mean, he's one of the smarter guys that I've been around in covering. I mean, Dave Aranda's up there as well. I think Dave Aranda might be the smartest guy I've ever been around in terms of a coach, but defensively. But Jim is there, and I think when he gets a shot, it's maybe not as easy to do it on the fly within a half, because he's still so so young as a coach. But when they get an opportunity to sit down, look at stuff, see what people are throwing at them, which they get to do at halftime. You get, I mean, and, you know, the pros, you're in and out really quickly. In college, you got that 20 minutes. So you're able to go in there and really talk it over and look it over and figure out what exactly is going on. And then you come back out, and as we've seen, they've been able to really lay the wood. And we saw it against Northwestern, but it's been that way all year for the most part. Until late in the fourth quarter when Northwestern finally got on the board. That was the first points they've given up in the second half this year. So it's been impressive, and I think it has a lot to do with their ability and Leonard's ability to realize what's hurting them and figuring it out at halftime.
Watching this team moving forward, it doesn't really get any easier. I mean, when you look at the schedule, I mean, obviously you've got Nebraska coming up and then Purdue. What kind of a – because Nebraska is a conundrum. I know the Big Ten keeps waiting for Nebraska to break through and really be that dominant team that's going to give the Badgers a challenge, because they want them, they want Iowa, they want the Badgers all to be good. So what is the conundrum with Nebraska, in your opinion?
I think they're stuck in the 1990s and thinking that there's some kind of great program. I mean, I don't know about you. I don't.
I would agree with that. That's a good statement.
I mean, I don't view Nebraska in the same light. You know, similar to Tennessee, like down in Tennessee, they all think that it's still the 1990s and they're this great program and they're expecting to turn around, and it's just not. Now, Nebraska has so many, the facilities and the money they put into it. They're the Green Bay Packers in Nebraska. You know what I mean? Like that's their pro team. That's their everything down there. And they put so much money into it, but there's only so much you can do. And I just don't feel like they're that marquee program that big time recruits want to go to anymore. And so I don't think they're ever going to be the Nebraska that we once knew, and them coming to the Big Ten certainly didn't help them, because a lot of their recruiting, you know, they are not nearly as noteworthy in Texas and in some of those areas that they used to be when they were playing in the Big 12 or even, you know, before that. So I don't think Nebraska is ever going to be Nebraska again. And if, you know, if the Big Ten's hoping for that, they're going to be waiting a very, 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 very long time. Wisconsin owns the West right now. I'm not sure that's going to change anytime soon, especially if it's going to be Mike Riley and Kirk Ferentz being the guys that are trying to chase him.
7 o'clock down in Lincoln coming up this weekend. Is this can this be considered a trap game in any way, shape, or form for the Badgers?
Well, I mean, this is Nebraska, and they haven't played well for the most part. They lose to NIU, but this is, I mean, kind of like Kinnick at night. We saw Penn State go in there, and that's a different place at night. Nebraska has they've won 20 straight night games, but they are, and now they get to play the underdog card. Wisconsin, I believe, is an 11.5-point favorite, a 12-point favorite, and Nebraska has been a double-digit underdog at home since 2008, so they get to play that up as well. And, you know, I think the offense, especially Tanner Lee, has found a little success here these past 2 weeks. So Wisconsin, I don't think it's going to be a blowout by any stretch. It's going to be a hornet's nest down there for them, and they need to play like they did at BYU. They can't have the slow start that they've had these, you know, in three of the four games that they've played this year, or they're going to be in trouble, because all that place is going to be crazy, and they can't get behind and try and fight their way back. But it is definitely, I think, it's their hardest road game that's left on the schedule, and you know, if they get by this one, you know, we're going to be all looking towards that Michigan game as the one that may decide whether or not they have a shot to make the college football playoff or not.
Zach, great stuff. We'll touch base again down the road. I certainly appreciate it. Okay.
All right. Sounds good, Bill. Thanks.
Appreciate it. Talk to you soon. There you go. Zach Heilprin, reporter for 106.7 FM and 1670 AM The Zone. Out in Madison, breaking down the Badgers with us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they treat you fair. 80-plus years they've been getting it done. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com. That's 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com. This portion of the program being brought to you by Neumel Medical, treating guys with ED, erectile dysfunction, all over the state of Wisconsin and beyond the border, and you want to live your life to the fullest, you could be missing out, and you simply don't need to. My friends over at Neumel Medical Center, they've got proven solutions that you've been looking for. 98% success rate treating guys with ED from all over the state and beyond the borders without the harsh side effects from the pharmaceutical companies out there. Your partner's going to enjoy a better, satisfactory life, we'll say. And you can last longer, you can feel better, and if you're sluggish and moody and you know, lack of energy, do like I did. Call the Neumel Medical Center. I enjoyed my fall to the fullest and looking forward to the fall and the holiday season. Just call them. And if it's the weight loss thing that's got you down, don't worry about it. They can help jumpstart your weight loss and fitness program with that as well. 414-455-4451. 414-455-4451. That's the Neumel Medical Center, 414-455-4451. 800-400-4451. Give them a shout and tell them Bill Michaels sent you. When we come back, I'm going to talk some more Badgers, and I'm going to ask you the question. What do you believe the Badgers' identity to be? More of the Bill Michaels Show next.
You're listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network, presented by Marshfield Clinic Health System.
Show continues. Hopefully you're having a terrific day today. We certainly appreciate you hanging out with us. Tom Petty, all day today. It's been good. It's been a lot of fun. A lot of good memories attached to some Tom Petty music. Back to college days and high school days. Even into the 90s, enjoying some stuff. Joe Zanzola across from me, I'm Bill Michaels. You can find us on Twitter at @Bill_Michaels, @Bill_Michaels, or at Radio Joe Sports.
Two Beatles in this particular song with Tom Petty, George Harrison.
George Harrison, yeah.
And of course, Ringo Starr.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, he, Tom Petty said that one of his biggest influences was the Beatles.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so he really looked forward to working with those guys.
Yeah, he
did he ever work with McCartney? I don't know if he ever did.
I don't know for sure, but he collaborated a lot with George Harrison, and of course George Harrison was a part of the Traveling Wilburys.
Mm-hmm.
Man, what a group that was.
They had just started to take off when Roy Orbison died.
Yep. Yeah, Orbison was in there. Jeff Lynne was in
George
there.
George Harrison was in there.
And what's his face? Brain fart. Help me out here. Help me out. I hate having brain farts on the air.
Well, there was George Harrison. There was Ringo Starr.
Yes.
Tom Petty.
No. Ringo was not in there.
Or not Ringo Starr. Bob Dylan was in
Bob
there.
Bob Dylan. There you go. Thank you.
George Harrison,
thank
Bob you. Dylan, Tom yeah. Petty, Roy Orbison. Jeff Lynne played, and then Jim played the drums? Jim Keltner.
Yeah.
Jim Keltner was in the Traveling Wilburys. 855-830-8648, talking about the identity of this Badgers team. This portion of the program being brought to you by our friends over at Cousin Subs. And at Cousin Subs, they want you to understand that, they've got all kinds of things going on right now. It's not just that pepperoni melt that I highly recommend. It's bring on the brisket time. That's right, at Cousin Subs, the new mouthwatering barbecue brisket and cheddar with beef brisket, Wisconsin cheddar cheese pickles, crispy onions, horseradish mayo, and barbecue sauce. They've got it going on right now. You can order online at CousinSubs.com. It's for a limited time only at Cousin Subs, where they believe in better. I highly recommend, though, that pepperoni melt. Always good. Pepperoni melt's fantastic. Life-changing, people have told me. Extra mayo, extra cheese, you're good to go. The official sub sandwich of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. This Badgers team, I know Zach Heilprin just said, you know, they're balanced. They're about as balanced as they've ever been with Paul Chryst and company. But they've got a good run game. They've always been this big, beefy, dominant team in the trenches. And it's not to say that they're not dominant at times. They're not dominant all the time. And maybe that's what it is that I'm missing. I've become so used to seeing Wisconsin just being able to impose their will on teams, especially in the second half of ball games when they just kind of grind on you. They don't have this overwhelmingly prolific run game. It's good. I don't know if you would consider it great. They don't have a true downfield, open it up passing game. Not that they have in recent history, but I don't know what the identity of this team is yet. Do they have this stifling shutdown defense? They've got a good defense. I don't, can you consider it great? They've got good guys. But when you start to roll through this, you know, Nebraska's going to be a big game coming up next Saturday night down in Lincoln. Then you get, then you get Purdue. Then you get Maryland. Before you take on Illinois, you should beat Purdue. You should beat Maryland. You should beat Illinois. You should be able to beat Indiana before you face in back-to-back weeks Iowa and Michigan, and then culminate your season. I think it's going to come down to those last 3 weeks of the season as to whether or not the Badgers are in or out of that Big Ten championship game and whether or not they end up with a blemish on their record. At least that's the way it should be. But I'm kind of the – at the beginning of the season, I looked at this team and I said, why not having championship expectations? Why not have Final Four expectations? You know, USC ends up falling over the weekend. They didn't look good. So why not Wisconsin's opportunity to jump up there and get in? But I don't see anything that's going to make me go, wow, that's a dominant football team. And I'm just waiting for that moment. You know, as much as, because some people are saying, well, you know, they dominated BYU on the road and they beat up Utah State. Yeah, well, not to slam those programs, but they're not Big Ten programs. BYU has been a good team in years past. They're not a great program right now. They should have beaten BYU, and they needed to beat them handily. We talked about that going into that game because they were getting wins 59-10 and 31-14, and we said, look, they're not even getting credit for these wins. They're actually falling in the polls. So they needed that BYU win. And had they, you know, held Northwestern out of the end zone in the second half of the ball game, that would have looked like a much bigger, more dominant win in the Big Ten. But they kind of let him climb back into that thing. So you get a big win against Nebraska on the road, a dominant win. I think that's when people jump back into the Badgers' corner. Just my two cents on that.
Badgers need to beat some of these teams by large margins, especially some of these lesser teams in the Big Ten. Not just getting the W, but beat them by large margins. Because the Northwestern game was an example of the game should have been over after Natrell Jamerson's pick six. That should have been the game. That should have been the dagger. That was it. I don't know why. Usually what happens is, Bill, with the media, they let the media down on the field within the last 5 minutes of the game. So I left the press box after the Jamerson pick. There was about 7 minutes to go. I get down on the field, and the next thing I know, here comes Northwestern. They had just scored a touchdown, and they're right back in this game. And you had to sweat that one out in the final 2 minutes. There was really no excuse for that. The Badgers game should have been over the final 7 minutes to go. It should have been over. It should have been done. Move on. And instead, you let Northwestern get back in. It's just hard for the Badgers to garner any national respect from anyone right now. Mm-hmm. The Badgers are ranked ninth in the AP poll.
I mean, they're still ahead of Ohio State, who's got the one loss.
Understood. But right. There are eight other teams in front of the Badgers who are all undefeated right now. If you want the Badgers to get into the college football playoff, you're going to need help from these other teams. You just are. And I'm not convinced that an 11-1 Wisconsin team with a Big Ten championship title solidifies them in the Final Four. I don't buy that at all. You have to run the table if you're Wisconsin with this so much lighter schedule than what you were going up against last year. I just don't think the Badgers are going to get any respect unless they run the table. You got to go out there and beat a, with all due respect, a pretty dysfunctional Nebraska team right now. Their quarterback, Tanner Lee, has not really given them what they want. His potential's to the roof. Some people believe he could be drafted this year into the NFL, but he's got to play better. They've had some injuries to the running back core. I just think this is just another opportunity for the Badgers to try to play four good quarters of football. Not just, you know, get off to a slow start in the first half and then all of a sudden get some motivating speech at halftime, because it seems like that happens every week, is they're lackluster in the first half, and then someone's got to knock sense into them, whether it's Christ or it's Sitchie or it's Leonard or whomever. And then all of a sudden they pick it up in the second half. You need to see a little bit more consistency from this Badgers team.
Excuse me. The benefit is that you're going to see, if you get them to the Final Four, Alabama would play Georgia in the SEC because they have an SEC championship.
Right.
Oklahoma would then play TCU in the Big 12 championship.
Which they brought back. The Big 12
now
has
back,
it.
Right. Yeah. That means the Badgers would have to beat Michigan and beat Penn State. Michigan on their docket, and then Penn State, obviously, in the Big Ten Championship, so they could jump them. Washington, that's the conundrum, because Washington's sitting at 5-0. They've got Washington State. That's the last game of their season. And then right now their biggest win would then be Utah. But they still have to. They still have a tough road. They got Cal coming up. They've got at Arizona State, UCLA, Oregon, Stanford, Utah, and Washington State to end their season. So the Badgers, as long as they continue to win, they have a shot at moving up, because they would jump Michigan. They could jump either Georgia or Alabama, because one of those teams is going to take a loss, and one of those teams is going to end up in the Final Four. And then either Oklahoma or TCU, one of those two teams, are going to take a loss as well. So the Badgers have that opportunity to get there. The fly in the ointment is going to be Washington, because if Washington wins out, specifically with those last two games of the season against Utah and against Washington State, they can throw that whole thing into the conundrum.
Yeah, but Washington State's ranked 11th right now. They're also undefeated.
Right.
So that could be another team that we're talking about could make a bid for Final Four. If you've got
That's
two,
what I'm saying.
You got two
well,
undefeated
Washington State
teams.
Could, but if Washington State would make the bid, Washington State would then have to jump the Badgers. What I'm saying is that the Badgers beat Michigan and then beat Penn State in the Big Ten Championship game. If that's the way it ends up working out, they will have beaten two top 10 teams to then catapult themselves into that Final Four, because Georgia and Alabama are going to cancel each other out. Oklahoma and TCU are going to cancel each other out. If they beat Michigan and they beat Penn State, those two teams are gone. The only team ahead of them at that point then would be Washington.
I'll be curious if the Badgers lose to one of these teams on their schedule that's not named Michigan, how far will they fall?
Yeah.
That is the million-dollar question. Because, again, they can look at it and say, well, you know, Wisconsin, look at the wins that they've had so far this season, and now look who they lost to. I mean, they were really never a dominant team. We'll drop them back 8 spots. That kills them. That kills the Badgers and everything that they have, that what they're trying to build. That's why, again, I just don't think a one-loss Wisconsin team, even with a Big Ten championship, is going to seal the deal for them. I think you do have to win out here in order to garner that respect from the nation. I think that's, and from the committee, I think that's what you're going to have to do. And a lot of this, Bill, will have to go in on Alex Hornibrook. He's got to play better.
Oh, yeah.
He's got to show a little bit more consistency. And we've seen what he can do. The BYU game was an example of that.
He had a good arm, but he was in thin air, too.
Right.
The other thing.
Sure. But still, you saw him throw zip on those footballs. He didn't really do it that much, because he didn't really make any of those 10 to 15-yard passing plays up the field. You didn't have Troy Fumagalli, which didn't help your situation. But instead, it was more 50-50 balls where he's throwing it up to see, okay, hey, Kyle Penniston, can you catch it?
Mm-hmm.
Led to a pick. Quintez Cephas, come on, man. Now, we've seen Cephas win 50-50 balls before this year, and I can see where he's coming from. And the one pass, the one deep throw he had to Cephas in the first half, I think Cephas, he just didn't get a good read on it, and it led to an incompletion. And I expect a little bit more out of Cephas, because I think his potential's through the roof. But, again, this receiving core is young, but I also believe the potential is so high, Bill. I really do. This could be, said it before, I'll say it again, this receiving core has the potential to be one of the best receiving cores this football program has seen in a long time. Not saying the best ever, but I think the best in a while. Because really, try to name me the last great wide receiving core to come through Wisconsin. It's always been about
been
the running
while,
backs.
Yeah.
You know
been
what I mean?
Yep.
And Jonathan Taylor, who I was surprised didn't get the ball more in this game against Northwestern, got to give him the ball a little bit more, too, because he has been incredible to start this season.
When we come back, last night we had a chance to sit down with the Packers defensive back safety Josh Jones at the Bill Michael, or I shouldn't say the Bill Michaels, the Horse and Plow huddle last night out at the Horse and Plow in Kohler at the American Club. So we're going to hear a little bit of that coming up next in the Bill Michael Show.
Wisconsin-wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network, presented by Marshfield Clinic Health System.
She's a good girl, loves her mama, loves Jesus, in America too. She's a good girl, as crazy about Elvis, loves horses, and her boyfriend too.
Welcome back.
And it's a long day.
Bill Michaels Show. We continue. Music from Tom Petty, passing away yesterday. Hopefully you're having a terrific day today, enjoying some of the music. Maybe it brings back some memories. I know it does for me. A lot of different songs came out of the 70s, 80s, 90s, as I was growing up. Tom Petty, very influential in so many ways. This portion of the program being brought to you by Quick Trip. I want to remind you, they have the 24-ounce Packer Tumblers on sale. $19.99 right now with any in-store purchase. Best part about it is after a Packers win, you can walk back in and get yourself that thing filled up for free. Another reason to root for the Packers. To get a lot of W's. Get some free stuff along the way. That is all from your Wisconsin area Quick Trips. Thanks to them for being a part of the program. Yesterday, we had a chance when we went to the Horse and Plow. We had the huddle last night, and Josh Jones was fantastic. I mean, it just revealed a lot. He's expecting a new son. He's looking forward to that. Didn't want to name him a junior because he wants him to be his own person. Didn't want to push him into football or anything like that. Found out about him enjoying movies and action films and such. The controversy, I guess, coming out of the game against the Bears was not so much the hit on Davante Adams, but what happened on the sidelines when Demarius Randall ended up getting burned, gave up a touchdown, and then got into it with the defensive backs coach Joe Witt, and was asked, I asked Josh Jones, I said, so what is said to a teammate after something like that happens?
Sometimes when you get a ball caught on you and a big play happens, you know, you kind of get down on yourself, but, you know, and it's tough not to, but, you know, as a teammate, you know, you take a guy like that and you go talk to him and try to encourage him to, you know, let him know that it's all right. We're still winning the game.
Obviously, Demarius Randall, you know, didn't necessarily agree and was sent to the locker room and subsequently talked to after that. But when you have a bad play, something like what Demarius Randall has experienced, I mean, Josh Jones has as well. How do you recover from a bad play or a bad game?
What you have to do is just be you. You know, don't try to do too much. Go out there, play your game. You know, give all your worries and doubts, give it to God, you know, before you step out there on the field. And when you step out there on the field, man, it's all about football, man. All the thinking and all the everything all like that just goes away.
He's really a big spiritual guy. Just very calm, very casual. Just said, hey, look, got to give it up. You know, it's kind of like being a reliever in Major League Baseball. You just got to have a short memory, man. You just got to go back out and do what you do. But the one thing he did point out is, as a defensive back, specifically in a league that is geared heavily towards the offense, you have almost zero room for error as a defensive back.
Well, I mean, as a defensive back, man, you know, we got the toughest job on the field, to be honest. You know, a lot of the plays that happen, the big plays that happen, you know, fans who are looking, you know, they think that it's particularly our fault. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, you know, the front, the D-line can mess up, the linebackers can mess up, but as a defensive back, you can't have no room for error.
You can't, because if you get a guy behind you, all of a sudden it's off to a score. So when I asked him specifically as a rookie coming in, I mean, I talked about how Tremont Williams, Sam Shields, when I asked those guys how they progressed and how they got better from the time they came in as rookies to the time their careers began to culminate, they looked at Charles Woodson and said, go back to 2010, 2009, when these guys were learning the game. Charles Woodson's the guy that taught him how to study. So who has Josh Jones leaned on?
I'll probably say, you know, Morgan Burnett. You know, that's a guy that doesn't get a lot of credit as far as, like, what the media puts out. But he's a guy that helps me a lot, you know, because he's a guy that's moved around a lot of positions for us and helped this defense. You know, he's been here, you know, this is his eighth year, and, you know, he's a guy that I, you know, lean on for advice and on and off the field.
So when you come into training camp as a rookie, I mean, you have the OTAs, you have the mini camps, the rookie mini camp and such, but, you know, you're expected to know it. You're expected to know where you're supposed to be, when you're supposed to be there, and Dom Capers doesn't have necessarily the easiest of playbooks when you talk about all the different things that this team is running, specifically when you're talking about a safety playing a linebacker position at times. So he said, look, hey, I came into training camp, man, I was ready.
Well, thank God for, you know, rookie minicamp and OTAs, because that gave me a little bit of a jump start. And then, you know, after that, OTAs, you get a month off, and then you go into training camp. So that whole month, instead of, like, you know, just relaxing and doing those things, you know, I was still training and going over my playbook every day. So I kind of jumped the curb, and then I stepped into training camp prepared.
He was ready to go come training camp just to know that book. But learning Dom's defense, he said in the beginning, hey, look, it's almost overwhelming.
You know, anything you learn that's new, you know, first time you learn how to ride a bike, first time you learn how to drive a car, man, all that stuff is, you know, you were like, well, what do I do? Mm-hmm. You know, but the more repetition, and the more you sit down with yourself and figure it out, you know, the better it'll get.
Just the more looks. The more looks you get, the better off you end up being. And, you know, these are bigger, stronger, faster athletic guys than even Randall and Rollins were. And right now, between Josh Jones and Kevin King, they're both getting the job done. OTAs in the preseason, very helpful, though, in learning that defense.
OTAs and rookie minicamp and then training camp. And then you get, you know, the preseason to go through all the things, like the growing pains and stuff like that. And then you really prepare for the regular season.
And then we asked him about the difference between the NFL and college and, you know, earlier, you know, as far as his football career goes.
NFL, only thing to me, mentally, the way I think about it is, you know, it's just football, same football, but you just have on an NFL jersey. That's mm-hmm. it.
That's it. You don't take any opponent lightly, whether the Cleveland Browns or coming up the Dallas Cowboys.
You don't take any game, you know, lesser than the next one, you know, so... You know, I look at all of them the same, whether we're playing the Cleveland Browns. I mean, we got them on the schedule, you know.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what team we playing. You know, you look at them all the same. You know, you prepare the same, and you evaluate after the same.
So that was Josh Jones from last night. He joined us for the Horse and Plow Huddle. Speaking of the huddle, coming up, the Bill Michaels Huddle is going to be this Thursday night. Bart Winkler is going to be joining us from the morning show at Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan in Milwaukee. Also, our green and gold analyst, Paul Emig, is going to join us. We're going to be at Maxwell's in Cedarburg coming up this Thursday night. The Bud Girls are going to be on hand as well. We're looking forward to seeing you out there. Hopefully you come on by. I've said this before. They got one of the best mushroom and Swiss burgers that are out there. So come on out and join us. Terrific corner pub out there. Maxwell's in Cedarburg coming up this Thursday night, 6 to 8. And it's brought to you by Bud Light. Bud Light is the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. We wrap things up coming up next.
16 stations strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Presented by Marshfield Clinic Health System.
Well, it started out down a dirty road. Started out all alone, and the sun went down.
Welcome back to the program. The Bill Michaels Show is on the air. As across the hill. Final segment before we get out of here. And the town lit up. Some Tom Petty as he passed yesterday. The world got still. Good music by Tom Petty. I'll tell you what, I was saying this yesterday, that this is always, I don't know why this song always got to me. I mean, I saw a couple of different interviews when he talks about the meanings behind certain songs. This was one of those songs that I said, hey, you know what, as people are exiting the church, when I die, play this. There you go.
I love this
Little Metallica in church, you know, Enter Sandman, obviously, if I'm taking the dirt nap, you're good to go.
I'll start the service with Rush.
Start the service with some Rush.
Yeah.
Stay right. True. Yep. And then go from there. And then everybody's exiting. Here you go. That's it. Some Tom Petty. Coming up tomorrow, Matt Velasquez. He's going to talk some Bucks with us. Matt Velasquez, I should say.
He's their new beat guy at the Journal Sentinel.
Yes, he is. He's going to talk Bucks with us at 11:35 tomorrow. Andrew Wagner's going to join us tomorrow. Paul Emig's going to join us tomorrow. Also, we're going to talk, we talked a little bit about it today with Adam McAlvey from Brewers.com and MLB.com. We want to get your thoughts on Craig Counsell as the manager as this team continues to move forward. So I want to get into that discussion as well.
And we'll hear more from Craig Counsell and David Stearns tomorrow as they had their season-ending press conference today. So we'll get to some of those comments tomorrow. They said a lot of interesting things.
So
I really wonder what they'll do this offseason. I really do. Very curious.
I
feel like they shouldn't have to do much.
I want to say there's going to be one move that's going to give us the excitement. That's going to say, okay, they're continuing the upward swing. I like the fact that when I asked Adam earlier today about, you know, with all the different talent that he had mentioned and all the different position players, and I said, do you see a trade for more arms? And before I could even get the entirety of my question out, Adam was saying, yes, yes, yes. I look for moves to be made by David Stearns. And Craig Counsell kind of intimated that, yeah, some of that payroll might be going up. They're heading in that direction. So I'm excited. I'm looking forward to, you know, winter meetings and free agency. And I want to see where the Brewers dip their toes. So it's not going to be a slow yawner of an offseason, I'll tell you that. But we'll talk about Craig Counsell coming up tomorrow on this program. About your thoughts about him as the manager moving forward, because I think as much as we talked about this young group learning how to win, I think Craig Counsell learned a lot this year as a manager, and I liked some of the things that he had to say. There were some poignant moments in his young managerial career this year that I thought was rather cool. So anyway, that's coming up tomorrow on the program. As we get into Wednesday, Packers back on the practice field, getting ready for the Dallas Cowboys this coming weekend as well. So we'll talk more about that. We'll hear, like I said, from Paul Emig. So we got a lot coming up tomorrow on the program, all throughout the rest of the week. Don't forget, coming up on Thursday night, we're going to be at Maxwell's in Cedarburg for the Bill Michaels Huddle, brought to you by Bud Light. Looking forward to that as well. And hopefully tomorrow is another day that I feel just a little bit better, as I'm trending in the right direction now. So hopefully it doesn't go in the wrong direction. Time for us to get out of here, though. So sit around, do whatever it is you do, and have a going. Sweep!
Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network, presented by Marshfield Clinic Health System.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.